On Maundy Thursday, we remember Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples. We're going to try to recapture something of their very earliest practice. Not a Passover meal, but a love meal and a communion combined, sometimes called an agape. The Spirit brings us together in deep fellowship as we eat together and talk together, and brings us together with God as we share his word and sacrament. A reading from Matthew 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. Tim, would you like to come and join me? I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Lord, speak to us through Tim's words tonight. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you. It's very difficult to bring yourself to something as so important as this. The Last Supper is the beginning of the new covenant. When Jesus passes and then comes back, he has saved us. He's given us his all. He can't give us any more. And if we could just imagine sitting there with the disciples were, although he said he was going to die, very near his death, I wonder what each one of them thought. And when you think about what he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." It's interesting. It was not part of tradition for everyone to share from the same cup, but that's what Jesus did. But in doing that, it stresses solidarity and unity. And they pass the cup around. Jesus is yet to institute the Lord's Supper. This cup is there for, and is part of the story. It's the only recorded in Luke's Gospel. In verse 19, we come to Jesus giving the word of institution. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the Passover, it's all about remembering what God has done for his people. And Jesus takes a familiar unleavened bread, and he breaks it. The unleavened bread is brittle. It's not like a loaf of bread that you can pull apart. It cracks and breaks. This is my body, which is given to you. Bread, something so simple, so universal, something needed for physical nourishment. Jesus had taught during his ministry that he was the bread of life. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Again, the wine has been part of this meal for generations. But Jesus shows it its true meaning. This cup is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. There had been an old covenant, but Jesus says that the cup poured out is the new covenant. After the first Passover, after the Lord had delivered the Israelites from Egypt, God made a covenant with the Israelites. That was the old covenant. Tonight, we obviously haven't got time to cover all of that. So at the Lord's Supper, and likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood, the blood of Christ poured out for the new covenant. Now that's a reference to Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, and the house of Israel and the house of Judah, pointing towards the new covenant. Not like the covenant that I had made with their fathers on that day, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. The Israelites had broken the law, and here we see the Lord will write the law on their hearts in his new covenant. This is referring to the Holy Spirit. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach their neighbour and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know all who know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. This new covenant replaces the old covenant. The old covenant revolved around land and keeping the law to maintain the land, and the people failed at this. Jesus brings a greater covenant at the Last Supper. When he sat with his apostles, he was telling them that the time of his new covenant prophesied in Jeremiah 31 was being ushered in. We have a good God. That's the Lord's Supper. A sign of the new covenant that the Lord came into the world to bring. We are participating in something that Jesus himself instituted and that Christians have done for almost 2,000 years. It unites us with the church and to history. And most importantly, it is a call to remember the gospel. The bread and the wine are both things we physically ingest. We really eat the bread and we really drink the wine. Symbols that point us to the real body and the real blood of Christ that were broken and shed for us, for our sins. Jesus is as real as the bread and the wine. They are physical symbols to remind us of reality. Symbols are important. A wedding ring is just a ring, but it represents the commitment of marriage. The Union Jack is just some cloth by itself, but there are a set of values it represents. We associate roses with love. Symbolism pervades literature and art. We do things in life for symbolic reasons. We commemorate certain days. We establish family traditions. And when we take the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder of the gospel. Christ's body broken for us, for our sins. His blood shed like the ancient Israelites who Moses sprinkled blood on. Those drops of blood in their clothes, a reminder of the covenant that God had made with his people. The Lord's Supper, a continual reminder and remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. We can never spend too much time reflecting on the gospel. What Jesus has done, there was a cost for sin, and Jesus paid that for all of us who trust in him. A practice, open communion, where anyone who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Saviour is welcome to partake. In Luke 22:15-16, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I will tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. At that meal, Jesus said, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He was referring to the end of times. His reference is this again in Luke 22:18. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. The Lord's Supper, past, present and future. In the past it was something that pointed to God's miracle of redeeming Israel. Now it points us to the gospel and what Christ has done for us. But it points still to the future and to our hope, because Jesus has died to redeem us, but he has also promised us eternity. The book of Revelation depicts a great feast at the end of times. In the opening chapters of the book of Revelation, Jesus has been active with his churches. In Revelation 4, the Apostle John is given a vision of the throne room of heaven, this wondrous sight to behold. But Jesus is absent until we get to chapter 5. And John sees a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The lamb had been slain, but he has risen. And because of the lamb that was slain for the sin of man, has died and risen. That is our hope, that we can stand before God in the throne room of heaven. In Revelation 19, there is a vision of a great wedding feast. And who is the groom? Again, it's the lamb. At the first Passover, a lamb was slain. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was on the night before his own crucifixion, where he would serve as the lamb who was slain. But it points forward still to the wedding feast that the lamb hosts. Jesus is the lamb. He is the Lord of the great feast. Jesus sacrificed himself so we could be with him. Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are all invited to that feast, past, present and future. It's interesting to think about the Passover feast. That was something done with your family. And then Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And that is something we do with our church family. But it is still points forward to the ultimate feast, when we partake with the entire family of believers. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We thank you for this meal. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for everything. We give our hearts and souls to you for whatever we do, to serve you throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
from Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.